cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Get on the internet that I can't change the channel on the TV.
What channel do you want?
I got it now, but it took me like five tries to get it.
How's your day going?
Just great. Thanks for asking.
Well, I always worry about you, Bob.
Oh, I'll request Wednesday tomorrow? I don't know whether I want to even do it. I might not even be here. If I can't get on the internet today, this is like 3 days without not being able to get online because of the stupid, ridiculous, asinine security system we have here, as if this was NASA or the Pentagon or someplace. It's Rogers, for God's sake. Who's stealing stuff? All I want to do is get on the internet. I got to have a password. It's got to have eight things. It's got to have uppercase, lowercase, this, that, numbers, figures, Jesus. And then they change it every five. You got to change your password every 5 minutes just in case somebody sees you type it in. What's wrong with these nerds? Are they even in the building or do they live in their mother's basement? Do they do all this from there? Honest to Rudy. Does the new CEO know what's going on around here? Does he know how asinine this system is?
He can't get on either, so.
Oh, okay, well, then he'll figure it out. Anyway. That's John Shannon, in case you didn't recognize him. Doug Smith will join us in a bit, then Drew Remenda.
Yes, sir.
What's Drew? Why did you say yes, sir? Does he say that or something?
No, I was just agreeing with you emphatically, because I want to create a positive vibe in the room.
Too late.
A little negative right now.
Too late. Drew Remenda is the TV analyst for the San Jose Sharks, who have scored boatloads of goals. We don't know how. Nick Kiprios, Kevin Martin will be with us.
Kevin Martin has joined the dark side too.
Yeah, we'll straighten him out. I hope he hasn't signed the contract yet. We'll tell him what the internet's like over here. That'll be the end of him. Be the shortest career as a curling analyst in the history of careers. Jonah Carey of Grantland and our legal analyst, Rob Becker. Oh, by the way, Butch Carter will be here in an hour.
Butch is great.
What'd you bring?
Good time to have Butch as the co-host.
Well, what do you think? We're stupid? I saw that look. Gave me a look, folks.
So your friend Matt Cook.
Here's the other thing. And Matt Cook is not my friend. I don't know Matt Cook. I've never met Matt Cook.
1 o'clock.
I'm not interested in
tomorrow in New York.
Well, so what? So he gets a hearing.
Yes.
And he'll get a slap on the wrist because that's what the NHL does.
He might get more than a slap on the wrist.
Well, how about a lifetime suspension? The guy's a thug, a goon, has no place in the game. How about that?
How about 15 games?
How about 50?
No.
No, see?
Because
you have no stones, Shannon.
I know, and I'm trying to predict what they are going to give at the other end.
Oh, how about 3?
No, it'll be more than that, Bob.
It's the playoffs. 3 games equals what? Pi
no,
R
that's
squared.
The old system.
The old system.
It's Coley's system.
Who's meting out the punishment these days?
Well, the group is being hit by former defenseman Stefan Quintal.
Wait a second. Group? It's now a group?
Yes.
They replace one guy with a group?
No, the group has always been there. Brendan was the lead guy.
So who's the lead guy now?
Stefan Quintal, who's a former defenseman. But rest assured, I think Mr. Daly is a little more involved than he was in the previous administration.
Why didn't they bring Coley back?
That's a good question. I think Coley.
That's a good question.
Coley is actually, I think, quite happy doing what Coley's doing.
No, I guarantee you, Coley doesn't want that job back.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was trying to say.
I wonder if they asked him.
I don't know. Because remember, all the whole player safety thing occurs out of the New York office as opposed to the Toronto office. And I think they're happy to keep it in New York.
I wonder if Coley threw a Masai Ujiri at him.
Coley doesn't speak like that.
He's a hockey guy. Of course he does.
Not when he's got a shirt and tie on.
That's not true at all.
I know. I'm just trying to be nice to him. He's having a good time right now. You know, he's enjoying himself.
Is he up at the farm?
No, he's here.
He's in Toronto?
He might even be listening as we speak.
Well, he might be. Hi, Coley, if you're listening. No, I'm glad he didn't go back.
I'm pretty sure he's glad, too.
He hated that job.
By the end, it was painful.
He hated that job.
Painful. So.
And it didn't lead to a presidency of an organization. So that's got to piss him off, too.
Do you think he would be mad about that?
Sure. So, well, I did that job.
He had lots of...
Wait a second. Burke did the job,
yeah.
And where did he wind up?
Well, about
president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Shanahan does that job. Yeah. Where'd he end up?
Yeah. Well, first of all, how did the Burke thing work out?
Well, but he got 4 years and a boatload of money.
Yep. Okay, well...
How's that bad?
Money's not the problem for Coley, trust me.
No, but everybody likes to make cake.
Yes. And then Brendan takes the job and then automatically gets the president... Of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
In between, who's the guy in between? Coley.
I see. Okay. In between the NHL, Coley, yeah.
And doesn't get a president's job. He doesn't become president of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, that's correct.
So I'm thinking but he's sitting there going, what the hell?
He did have other opportunities and chose to stay with...
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Well, I do. He chose to stay with the National
Good
League.
The Montreal's played tonight against the Tampas. Huh?
Yeah, I would suggest it's over.
Can you tell me how many Sportsnet people are in Montreal?
1, 2, 5.
Five guys?
Yeah, 4 on the air and a producer.
No.
Oh, no?
There's at least one
more. Oh, Gene is there, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, and then Chris Johnson's there.
Oh, keep counting.
Well, who else is there?
Well, that's 6 right now.
No, it's 8. That's,
6 plus producers.
6 plus producer, yeah.
And cameramen and whatever else they got.
Yeah, I'm not including them.
What the hell's that cost?
I don't know. I'm just an announcer here.
And how is that beneficial to the network? Can you explain that to me?
We're trying to create and project a new image as the national rights holder next year. We're trying to cover hockey to a greater extent, particularly when it's not Southern Ontario. Because you have to actually cover the game other than the Maple Leafs.
No, you don't. How is this important to the viewer or the listener? Do they care if Kiprios and his band of freeloaders are in Montreal or Tampa or whether they're in Toronto in a studio? Do you think they care? Truthfully. As a former big-time television producer...
Would I have people on the road? I would have people on the road. I would.
Well, yeah, but it's not your money.
No, it's never been my money.
So?
It's not yours either.
Well, it is indirectly.
Why? Because they can't spend it on you?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is exactly the point.
Okay, well, why aren't you on the road?
Because the hockey guys spending all the money.
If you said to them, by the way, guys, the Stanley Cup final, if it ends up in Montreal...
There's no chance they're sending me.
And... Prime time in Montreal during the Stanley Cup final, wouldn't that be grand? That would be really good.
Well, you want to go, but...
But that would be good.
You can want all you want. They're not sending us. They wouldn't send us to spring training, for God's sakes, the cheap bastards.
But Montreal for the Stanley Cup final would be, for primetime sports, would be outstanding. I'm going to write that down.
Well, you can write it down all you want.
Would you go?
Well, I'm going to tell you what the chances are.
Okay.
Bupkis.
But would you, if it's arranged, would
Borscht,
you go?
Zip, zilch, zorch, Sansabelt, nothing, nada.
But would you go?
No.
Oh, so.
When is the Stanley Cup final? It's like August, right? By the time they finish that damn thing. I'm so over hockey now. Forget July.
You're a typical Leaf fan.
It's That's July. I'm typical, not a Leaf fan.
You're a typical Leaf fan.
I'm not anything of the sort. I don't really want to go and cover hockey in July.
We have never done that, Bob.
June, then. Late June.
June, yeah.
Be late June.
No, I think the last day of the final is the 18th. I think that's the last day possible.
Really? I always thought it was later than that.
No, only in lockout or Olympic years.
Well, it's an Olympic year.
Yeah, but they rejigged the schedule enough that I think it's the 18th. I could maybe in the 14th. I got to check my notes. But it's certainly not.
Well, where are your notes?
They're downstairs.
What's the point of having notes if you don't carry them around with you?
I try to memorize everything.
How's that working out?
Pardon me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the awards are on the 24th in Vegas. You probably want to do the show from there.
Wait a sec. You're getting warmer.
You and George could do the...
Yeah, George is going to host it, right?
Yes, sir. 24th good of June. And then the draft is in Philadelphia on the 28th. And then free agency is July the 1st.
And go visit my money.
Yes.
Go wave at it, say hello.
But there's a lot of places you could do that, Bob.
That's a very good point.
Anyway, Montreal should win tonight.
I will. I'll go to Vegas.
Okay,
if commanded.
There you go. You have it right here for the awards.
Yeah, I do that.
A couple of days for the primetime sports show.
Yeah,
at the awards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Montreal, I'm lukewarm on.
Really?
I love Montreal. Maybe I should go to Montreal.
Spectacular.
Maybe I should go to Montreal. Okay, I'll do both. Can you arrange it? Can you make it happen?
I can't make it happen because I'm just an announcer. But I can suggest...
Why are you even bringing this up then?
Because you were complaining that you don't get any trips.
Well, and it's wasting money sending these guys to all these places. They don't give me any insight into anything that they couldn't get.
When they do the noon show from there, I think they do. I think they do very well.
I don't think the audience cares.
Sure they do.
What do you mean next round? We're not going anywhere. You just walk in the middle of the conversation and...
We're going next round now?
Not next round. Wow. We're talking about Montreal if they make the final, which, of course, the chance of that happening is about zero. And then
hold
Shannon...
Hold on, the way they're playing? Are you kidding me?
Well, hold on. It's the first round. Take a pill. And now Shannon is promoting us going to the Vegas.
No, McCowan is promoting.
I just brought
the date up.
Well, you asked, well, what about going to that?
Yeah, because, I mean, you're complaining about, it's always about spring training. There are other things than spring training, Bob.
You know why?
It just so coincides with your daughter's spring break.
Well, no, I like spring training because it's winter here.
Yes.
And I don't want to be here anymore.
What's the difference than June?
Because it's not winter here anymore. It's nice here. It's beautiful.
It might be
here.
Still.
Well, it could be, but.
The golf courses won't be open yet.
Oh, they will be.
See, the city course is open this week. Wow.
Yeah, well, they don't care. See, that's the... They're just in it for the cake. You know, the ground is still frozen. The frost is still coming through the grass. You're going to trample it all down. It'll be dead as a doornail in June.
Yeah.
But come on out. If you got cash, you can play.
No.
Home of Golf won't open until the middle of May.
Yeah.
Middle of May.
Yeah.
Jesus,
I hear the frost is deeper on most golf courses than any other time.
18 inches
this
year.
Yeah. Usually around 12.
Yeah.
It's not good.
One of the high profile, I think. Rosedale. St. George's, I heard.
I heard it from a guy who was a member at Rosedale.
Bad.
Yeah.
Like they lost 9 greens or something.
St. George's had the green issue. You're right.
9 greens or something.
But the frost issue is a
Gonzo.
Yeah. That's not good.
That's terrible. I don't know what we can do about it. Move. That's what we can do. And I'm getting closer and closer to that. If my internet isn't fixed today, that's it. I'm moving. I'm blaming the entire country. So Matt Cook's going to get like a 2-game suspension. Habs might beat Tampa tonight. What else?
Yes.
Other hockey stuff? Because I know you don't even know anything. You don't know anything about anything except.
No, we could the basketball. I mean, the Raptors are playing tonight. You know, you think they'll get a call in the fourth quarter?
Well, I don't think, it's a reality that you better face is that when you play a team that has more veterans on it than you do, mm-hmm. chances are they're going to get more calls than you are. That's just the way it works. You can whine and complain about it. This is nothing new.
Right.
It's been going on since the beginning of time. This is not an anti-Raptors, anti-Canada thing. It's all about veterans and experience, and they tend to get calls. Now, is it Is it way out of whack? Nah, I don't think it was way out of whack. It might have been a little bit out of whack. But pretty much expected. We talked about it before the series started. That's what happens.
Right. That's what they prescribe in NBA jargon as experience. So, knowing where the line is.
Look, my point has been, I think, look, they had three of their five starters had subpar performances.
Correct.
That they managed to stay within a touchdown of Brooklyn is a testament to the bench and to Valanciunas, who had a big game for him.
Yeah. Lowry was okay, too.
Yeah. If you think the other three guys are going to have the same kind of game again tonight, the officiating won't matter again.
Right.
They'll get beat. You can't do that. And so, okay, it happened. It's not that big a deal. It happens. Guys have bad nights. You hope, you know, maybe only one guy has a bad night and somebody else can pick him up. But they had three guys that had bad nights. You're going to lose.
By the way, not all the Nets played great on Saturday either. You know, Paul Pierce was pretty good in the fourth quarter, but prior to that, he wasn't very good. Kevin Garnett was not very good at all. Deron Williams was unbelievable.
Doug Smith's going to join us.
Oh, really?
Do you have your headpiece in?
Yes, sir.
I can't see it because it's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
From the pages of the Toronto Star, here's Doug Smith. Are you the last man standing over at the Star now?
What's going on, fellas? No, we got nothing but people coming, going, leaving.
Well, that's what
arriving.
I mean. How long?
You think I go in there to see around? Not a chance.
Yeah. You even go in there at all?
Yeah, just to get money and do paperwork.
Oh, okay. Like to fill out expense sheets and get paid.
Expense sheets and advances, yes.
Obviously, the future of the newspaper is very bright.
Why? Because they don't have any more salaries anymore.
It's like the brilliant sunshine, right?
So, what do you make of game one? I haven't talked to you since game one. And I'm not the least bit panicky like everybody else is. It's one game. Three guys played like crap. They play better, they win. End of story. If they play the same way again, they'll lose.
Yeah, they were skittish for the first 14 or 16 minutes and then calmed down and were in a tie game with 6 minutes to go. So I don't think there's any reason to panic. It's a long series. I still think it goes seven games. And I think these guys will win it. But if it gets to the seventh game, who knows? But it's certainly not over by any stretch of the imagination.
If this series was a best of five, do you think it would still go seven?
Nine.
Okay, thank you.
Just keep playing.
How banged up is Amir Johnson, really?
If I would probably guess he'd be 70%. His ankle's pretty sore.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Pierce is a tough matchup for him. So I think it's a far better matchup for Patrick Patterson than it is Amir Johnson. So that weighs into it. I think the guy that they're worried about physically is John Solomon. His back is bad, and he can't guard Joe Johnson. And that's why Terrence Ross has to be better, and they might dust off Landry Fields.
Wow.
That's the issue.
Well, Terrence Ross has got to be better than what he was. I mean, he was horrible. I'm sorry, but he was horrible.
Chris Fowles, a little bit overwhelmed, didn't look at all comfortable.
No.
But you know what? He's a 20, 21-year-old kid.
No, I get that.
Yeah, but you're right. Bobby has to be better, or they can't win the series. He has to contribute. He doesn't have to get to 20.
No, we're not talking about him being a star.
He's got to be a threat.
Just do what you did all year. I mean, you know, you can't go out there and get in foul trouble and contribute like low single-digit points. You got to make a few shots, make a few plays, play some sound defense, not give it away.
Exactly. He's got to be better. And you know, all year he's been wildly up and down. He has 51 points one night and doesn't get 51 for the next seven games.
I know. Total, so, yeah.
So we hope he gets a few games where he's at least a threat, which opens up space for DeRozan and takes a little bit of pressure off Lowry. and he makes two or three shots that loosens the defense a little bit. And I don't know whether he will. No one does, but he has to, or else they're not going to win the series.
So, but to deal with Ross, this team, you know darn well the Nets are going to be physical all the way up and down the court. Is he just overmatched that way, Doug?
No, I think he's just a little bit nervous. He committed two silly fouls, one funding through a screen. It might have been a cheapy call, but it was probably still the right call. But I don't think the physical nature of the game should bother him, because what he has to do is stand in the corner or on the perimeter and make three-pointers when they collapse the defense on DeRozan. He doesn't have to drive the ball and get hit and take all those shots. He's got to be better at doing what he does, just creating space for the other guys.
And so what about DeRozan? I mean, is that the same thing? I mean, when you think about the numbers early on, I think everybody was in a little shock.
He's got to make his shots.
If that space opens up, he's got to make his shot. He missed two wide open corner threes in the same possession the other day.
Yeah.
That in the regular season he makes, and they just didn't go in. And if he makes one of those, he's got 17 points, 16, 18 points, and he feels a little bit better about himself. But it's the other guys creating room for him to operate.
Right.
They're going to send a second defender every time he touches the ball. They've been doing that the whole regular season. That's not new. But it's the other guys, him making decisive moves, quick passes, and then being effective when he does that. And you learn how to do it.
Well, you know, you could go through every shot he took and the questionable nature of it. And a couple times he took shots that he thought he was going to be able to draw fouls and couldn't draw fouls. And
sure.
Was that because the referees were?
I think it's because it's a different game.
Mm-hmm.
It's more physical. There's more clutching. There's more grabbing.
Well, they let you get away with it a little bit more too.
At every possession, someone's in front of you. Like guys in the regular season, guys take possessions off.
Yeah.
They hope the guy misses a shot, or they don't react that quickly. Well, in a playoff, that doesn't happen. Every possession, someone's in your grill, and you got to make space for yourself and make a shot. And, you know, I think DeRozan can. He seems impervious to a lot of stress. I mean, he's had crappy games all year, a bunch of crappy games, but he's always responded by playing pretty well. I presume he will tonight.
Now, you've been around this team on the two off days. Do they acknowledge it the way you acknowledge it?
The sense I get from talking to players and coaches is that there was a huge sigh of relief. That's over. Game one is over. Now we can go play. There's a lot of stuff around game one. There's 2 days leading up to it. There's like 10 times the media. There's all this, oh, are you going to react okay? Are you going to be all right? It's a hugely different game. Can the inexperience, can you overcome the inexperience? They've had 2 days to collect their breath. And now it's about basketball. And as basketball players, I think this team is better than Brooklyn.
Yeah. I assume Ed Malloy's not working this game, is he?
No, it's a much more veteran crew. Monty McCutcheon, David Jones, and Jerry Zielinski, who are probably 65 years combined NBA experience. Been around a while.
Yeah.
So it'll be different. Ed Malloy's a horrible referee. Brian Forte's a kid.
Thank you for saying that. You know.
Yeah, the guys on Saturday were like, they just weren't good. They were the bottom of the barrel of the pool of NBA referees going to play out.
Right. So they got a better crew this time out. That's good.
I think they have a more experienced crew, but probably a crew that's, well, obviously a crew that's handled more playoff games. So I don't think that. And a crew that can keep up. The thing with Malloy and Forte, to me, it's not that they're not really good referees ever, but the speed of the game in a playoffs is too much for them. They're not quite in position to make the call. They react to things that they probably shouldn't react to.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. There's really nothing you can do about that because that's who you got. It was unfortunate they got him in game one, and I'm not saying refereeing in game one determined the outcome, but it was a part of it.
No, I think that's fair. That's probably the perfect way to say it. I mean, they didn't get completely screwed, but there's no doubt that Brooklyn got at least a slight edge in the calls.
Sure, and I'll give Brooklyn credit. They played more aggressively.
Right.
So if you go, you're going to get the call.
Yeah.
DeRozan went twice in the start of the third quarter into the paint and got hit and shot four free throws inside of 90 seconds.
Yep.
So
you can get the calls. There. Yeah, if you're aggressive, you can get them.
They're there if you go and do it.
Yeah.
You just got to do it more often. Yeah.
Now, you talk about the Raptors maybe having better personnel. Do you think Lowry's better than Deron Williams?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do. Deron Williams, I know there's all this love for Deron Williams out there. I don't quite get it. He's got capabilities of being a big-time player.
Well, I mean, other than the injury issue, right?
Yeah, he's got, but he's, if you let him get his head of steam, he's going to be really good. Just like if you let Kyle Lowry get his head of steam, he's going to be really good. They just didn't defend Williams very well in the first game. They let him get out on a break and get him open looks. And I think if you talk to 30 NBA general managers, I would say 21 would take Kyle Lowry today over Deron Williams today.
There you go. Quickly before we let you go, so Masai was in here or talking to us yesterday. We had a few chuckles about the
greatest Brooklyn general manager quote of all time. Incredible.
All time, it's all time great.
I love it. It was perfect.
Oh yeah, and you know, like you knew he had a twinkle in his eye, and you know, I think he knew he had to apologize, and he was going to have to apologize, and but I think he calculated it to a great extent. He didn't want to admit to it, but I think he calculated and thought, you know what, this is worth it.
Absolutely. I think he knew if he said it, he was going to get hit with it. He's going to hit with some monetary fine, no question about it.
Yeah.
But you need to rile up the fans. You need to say, and I wrote this morning, you need to say, we're not going to take your crap anymore.
Yeah.
We're here. Deal with us. And you know what? If you've got to be a little bit trickish, go ahead. Runs contrary to what they've been for a decade.
Yeah, I'm with
so
him.
So why not?
I'm with him.
How many other general managers in the NBA would do that?
In public, probably zero.
Okay, I think that's the answer.
Mark Cuban might.
I think he's not. That's no, but he's an owner. That's different. But how many other general managers would do it? I don't think anybody would. I think that's the disappointment. That's the thing.
You're disappointed, isn't it?
Oh yeah, but I'm not a fan. I'm not a Raptor fan. I'm trying to be objective. I think that when leaders lead, you don't lead that way. You don't.
No, but I think
you don't lead that way.
But I think leaders send a message to the people who are following them, and that's the players and the coaches. And I think the coach.
You do that in private. You don't do that like
coaches,
that.
I think the players and the coaches. Oh, I like it. Have their back that way.
I like it. I mean, all this. I think Masai is absolutely convinced that Brooklyn tanked in order to get the Raptors.
Sure, they did.
And I think he wanted to send a message. We know what you did, and guess what? Screw you.
Yeah.
Watch this.
I think the people that follow the leader in the organization appreciate him having their backs.
I would if I was him. I mean, I'd never ask if anybody to do it. And the circumstances under which I think it's justifiable are rare, but I think this was one of them.
Oh, and out I didn't, of character, which makes it stronger.
Which makes it even stronger, right? And, you know, he did the mea culpas and whatever, so.
Hey, it cost him $25,000.
Cost him $25,000.
Like 2% of soccer players.
Well, based on what you're talking about, I wonder who actually paid the fine.
You never know.
If it's that contrived, who paid that fine?
At some point, the NBA might come to you and say, okay, we fined you, but you don't have to really write the check, which has happened many times before.
Well, in every league.
Well.
We may as well, put this out there. We cost you this, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to write the check, maybe no one has to.
Smitty, we got a good scoot. Always a pleasure.
Take care.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There's Doug Smith of the Toronto Star, last man standing over at the Star. Dropping like flies over there.
Well, no, there's new guys coming. There's new bodies coming, you know? It's the Argo Airlift over at the Star, you know?
Well, it's a little weird, don't you think? Sports department. It's falling apart. Right in front of our eyes.
I would have said that was true for the Globe and Mail, and then all of a sudden they look like the phoenix, you know, coming out of the ashes.
Yeah. Like a bat coming out of a cave.
Yeah. Well,
I think in 5 years, newspapers, the entire sports section of the newspaper will be one guy.
And he's going to live in his mother's basement and type it quickly on his iPhone.
Yeah. And it might be one guy for all three newspapers. How many newspapers are
there? Hold on. You don't think that that's happened with wire services? You don't think that's what wire services have been for years?
Are there still? Do they still have them?
Oh, sure. AP's still around? Reuters?
So the newspapers get their information from wire services.
A lot of them.
If wire services fire all their people, where do they get the information?
The internet. Which, by the way, Bob, how's yours?
TV. Well, it's not working. Why, is my internet fixed yet? Oh, it is?
This will be fun.
So I get during the break, I'm going to see if the internet works again. You told me it was fixed about an hour ago. And how'd that work out? No, it didn't. It wasn't fixed. Bastards. The break, when we come back, Drew Remenda.
Yes, sir. Pride of Saskatoon.
Was that right?
Yeah. It's from Saskatoon.
So if you go to Saskatoon and walk down the main street in Saskatoon.
Yeah.
And you say, Drew Remenda.
People go, whoa, you know Drew?
They do not.
Okay.
Really, they do?
Yeah.
He's a big star in Saskatoon.
He's a star in Saskatoon.
I did not know that. He'll join us next when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Coming up to 20 before the hour, primetime, coast to coast on the Sportsnet radio and television networks, McCowan and Shannon. Coach Butch Carter will be in for the next 2 hours. Also, Nick Kyprios of Sportsnet, Kevin Martin, Olympic gold medal winner. And now, at least for the moment, Sportsnet curling commentator.
Curling insider.
What is he thinking? Jonah Carey of Grantland and Rob Becker, our legal analyst in New York, will join us. It's Sharks 2, Kings nothing, and that is an understatement. It's really like Sharks a million to nothing.
Well, you don't get extra points for scoring 7 goals.
And somehow I think you should. Here's TV analyst for the San Jose Sharks. Here's Drew Remenda. So, Drew, I hear John Shannon tells me that you can't even walk down the street in Saskatoon without getting accosted.
Exactly.
Is that accurate?
Without people throwing things at me? Yes. Without people trying to hurt me.
Oh, Drew, you're a star in Saskatoon. Come on.
No, not even close. I'm not like Todd McClellan or Mike Babcock, you know, good Saskatoon boys would be stars in Saskatoon. I'm a small P personality in Saskatoon.
So you don't have to wear a disguise when you walk down the street or anything? Because that's what Shannon was saying.
I should.
Okay, no, hold on. You wear a hat.
I should because my looks.
You wear a hat.
Yeah, because the glare is so bad off my head that I need to wear a hat to keep it down.
Yeah.
Well, that and it's 50 below zero in the middle of winter if you're there then.
Actually, today was nice. Today was actually nice because my family's, Michelle and my kids are back there.
Oh, are they?
I do the commute thing, and it was 18 degrees today in Saskatoon.
Beautiful.
Isn't that? And yeah, you're good, Drew, because you do the Fahrenheit Celsius conversion on a whim.
Yes. Well, that's the Canadian way. The one thing I grew up in my lifetime that was different from everybody else, I grew up with Celsius. I went from Fahrenheit to Celsius, so I can do it.
Okay.
Well, I can do it too. Can't you do it?
I do it all the time. My kids can't. They have no clue of Fahrenheit.
No.
No clue.
Well, my youngest daughter can't write.
Well, that's a,
yeah, like cursive.
They don't
cursive,
yeah, no cursive. Right? Yeah, they don't even teach it anymore.
It's ridiculous.
Holy crap! And I'm.
How are you supposed to progress as an adult if you don't know how to do cursive writing?
Well, you don't need cursive on the keyboard.
Well, no, and true. Do you know? Like, I don't buy books anymore. Everything she does is on an iPad.
Downloaded.
Yep.
It's 100% of her schoolwork is done on an iPad.
Wow.
That she doesn't have a pen, no pencil, no pen, nothing.
Yeah. Well.
Isn't that going to catch up to them at some point in time? I don't know.
You would You would think so.
Not when the next phase of the Silicon Valley, not far from San Jose, where they're actually going to computer chips in our heads, and they're going to do it with telepathy.
Really? That's
nice. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
Well,
you see the Google glasses?
You got a
pair of Google glasses yet, Drew?
No.
You seen
them? I'm 1YK compliant. I'm not up on it.
So you better be careful, Ramenda, because you're like right down the street from Silicon Valley, you know. And I mean, you could be like a guinea pig.
Well, I should be.
So let's talk about this stupid series.
Yeah.
Because this has been stupid. This is kind of stupid. You know, I mean, here's arguably the best goaltender in the NHL. Certainly one of the best goaltenders in the NHL.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody can have a bad day. Not me personally, but everybody else can have a bad day. And we get that. But you're not supposed to have two back-to-back, and he has.
The best goalie in the NHL, one of them without doubt, and the best defensive team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And a team that prides itself on just being miserly in their own zone and allowing goals. And the one thing that Todd McClellan said after game one is, well, we're not going to get five on Jonathan Quick in game two.
Well, he was right.
And he was right. Yeah, they got seven.
Yeah. I think what has happened with the series so far is that this is, talking to a few of the LA Kings people, this is about as sloppy as they played in their own defensive zone, but it's sloppy because of over-aggressiveness. When you look at the defense, they're so eager to close off that time and space quickly that they're not looking over their shoulder. They're not checking about the support. Where else are the dangerous sharks coming from? Like Logan Couture's goal the other night was a perfect example. It's a two-on-two. Patrick Marleau gets by the defenseman, and then Robin Regier, who's just, you know, veteran defenseman, stalwart guy, knows exactly what he's supposed to do. He doesn't even bother to check the middle. He just jumps to Patrick Marleau, and that left Logan Couture all by himself. So I think their hyper-aggressiveness is one of the reasons that they've opened up some chances for the Sharks. And the Sharks have had that opportunity to, you know, put the puck in the net. They've been able to do it. It's like at the start of the year when they got out of the gates and they were scoring fives and sixes and nines against the Rangers. And everybody seemed to be scoring. There's 10 guys who have scored
2 points or more
series so far for the Sharks.
Yeah,
that says something as well.
Now, on a day that we're ready to hang Matt Cook, Rafi Torres has contributed. Rafi Torres hasn't crossed the line, and Rafi Torres is a valuable member of the San Jose Sharks.
Big time.
So, can you explain the role that he plays on this hockey club?
He is the leader of the physical play. He's the leader of the forecheck. He has an energy level that injects the fire, and it, like, you know, almost lights the fire from below. You remember Glenn Sather used to tell guys like Pat Conacher when he brought them in, you know, you got to light the fire from below.
Yep.
So the big guys get going, and that's what Rafi does. Rafi brings an intimidation factor without a doubt. He makes defensemen look over their shoulder a couple of times. He makes defensemen maybe move the puck quicker than they want to. Matt Green on the first goal last game, Rafi Torres and Andrew Desjardins get in on Matt Green quick, and all of a sudden Matt's going to push it around the boards. The Sharks pick it off. It goes back down deep. Bang, Mike Brown scores. And that kind of changes the game. Rafi changes this team, guys. And the one thing that people forget, this is a first-round draft choice. This is the number 5 overall. The numbers he had in Brampton were pretty darn good. So he can put the puck in the net when he gets a chance. His goal was tremendous to be able to shoot the puck the way he did. He's got speed. He's physical. He leads in as far as that physical play goes, and that's why he makes a big difference. And Doug Wilson, I got to give Doug credit. Doug said all along, just wait. Wait till these guys get back. Work backwards. He always used to tell us, work backwards. Look what was constructed in the summer, and look where we're going to be when all these guys come back. And so far, but it's just 2 games. So far, he seems to be the genius.
So here's an interesting dichotomy of circumstances. On one hand, as we've discussed and as everybody knows, the Sharks have been, like, completely dominant in games 1 and 2. That has to be of concern to the Kings. On the other hand, the Sharks have lost 8 straight at Staples Center. That has to be of concern to the Sharks. So you have two psychological things kind of battling each other in game three. Which do you think prevails?
Boy, that's a great question. I would think that in the first 10 minutes, I could tell you better. I think the first 10 minutes of the game, I think that the Kings are going to try to take out whatever frustration they've had in the first two games and go after the Sharks. And a lot of people tell you, you're going to weather the storm against LA in the first 10 minutes. And Todd McCullum says he wants to be the storm. He doesn't want to let them get their game going. But if they get their game going where they're physical and they start knocking the Sharks around, then I think you might be into that situation where you've got that, those eight losses in a row in LA, the home ice being the big advantage. Todd McClellan talked about it today. Todd said, we know it's going to be tougher. He said, I still think this is going to be a one-goal series. It's going to be a 3-2 here, a 2-1 there. And this is going to be a game where everybody's cognizant of the fact that the home ice is the big advantage. Mm-hmm. And the Kings are going to come out, I think, and try to be as physical as possible. If the Sharks can I think, weather that or even change that tone by dictating some of the physical play, I think the Sharks will be in good shape. But I think if when you look at the way the Sharks have played, one of the things I said going in this series is that the Kings played better on Shark ice than the Sharks did on Kings ice.
Right.
And now that's kind of switched around.
Yeah.
So I guess my long answer, Bob, is that I can't tell you the answer to your question because I really don't know, and I won't know until the first 10 minutes.
Now, you've been doing some network games for NBC Sportsnet, you and Randy, back and forth down the coast the last month or two. What percentage do you think Drew Doughty is right now?
Oh.
Because he's not 100%.
No, he's not even close to being 100%.
No.
And it was an innocuous hit. It was against the Sharks in San Jose. It was a little bump, really, on
Tyler Kennedy. Yeah.
And it was nothing. It was really nothing. And he bent over right away, and he was hurting. It was his shoulder. And he went off the ice, and he was done for the day and then done for the rest of the season until they brought him back for the playoffs. I don't think he's 100%. He has a unique ability, though, to slip those checks. The Sharks forwards are trying to make him pay for the minutes he's on the ice, trying to finish checks, doing it the right way, not taking any liberties or anything like that. But yeah, in playoff hockey, you've got to make the defenseman face the glass as much as he can. So they're trying to do that with Drew Doughty, but he's got that unique ability to slip. But you watch Tommy Wingles and Drew Doughty, they are battling each other.
Mm.
So they are trying to make him pay, but he was instrumental in the two goals last game. He was tremendous for the Kings. He still is a dangerous guy you have to watch on the offensive side. But I think he's about probably 70% at best.
So Drew Remenda, who has to wear a baseball cap, a fake beard, and clown pants when he goes back to Saskatoon because he's a rock star there. And we enjoy the rest of the series. It might not be that long the way it looks going right now. Who knows? Could be over quick.
Back home to Saskatoon.
Then you go back home to Saskatoon, you got to put the clown pants on again. thanks for taking a couple minutes.
That's a scary thought.
Thanks, Drew. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Drew Remenda of the San Jose Sharks broadcast team.
Proud of Saskatoon. By the way, his play-by-play guy, Randy Hahn, is from Whitehorse in the Territories.
What's the relevance of that? Everybody has to be from
good
somewhere.
Good Canadian boys.
Well, of course. They're hockey guys.
Well, I'm just saying.
What do you think, Americans?
Shouting out to Saskatoon and shouting out to Whitehorse.
All right.
Good guys.
And Canadian boys there, to quote Donald S. It was lovely to see you again, Shannon.
Robert, it's always a pleasure to be here. Nice to see the internet's up and running.
Got my internet back.
There you go. Good.
Yeah. We'll see how long that lasts. About 5 seconds. Shannon's out of here. Carter will wander in. Nick Kyprios will join us. Kevin Martin, Jonah Carey, and Rob Becker. Like a decent enough show.
Hey, don't forget.
For a Tuesday.
Rangers Flyers, Sportsnet 360, tonight at 8 o'clock. Right here. Stanley Playoffs on Sportsnet.
Huh. Govern yourselves accordingly. This is Primetime. Back in a couple minutes.